Long Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contagious.
I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We have a great show planned for you tonight, and I can assure you that the hour is going to go real fast. So we're not going to prolong. I just want you to know that all the opinions that are expressed over the airwaves are those of my own or my co-hosts or my callers. We do not necessarily endorse any products or services for that matter. On the show, there's no legal information given or psychological information given. If you're seeking anyone in those particular fields, we ask that you do so accordingly. And all the information that's presented over these airwaves are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Tonight's topic is, what spirit have you invited into your blank? And so we're going to be filling in the blanks tonight and see what spirit you've invited in. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. We invite you into our spirit, into our programming tonight. We invite you to open up our eyes and our hearts and our minds that whatever it is that you would have us to know, please impart that to us and help us to be able to go out and spread that word according to your will, grace, and mercy. These and other blessings, we thank you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to go ahead and bring in my co-hosts this evening, several of them. I'm going to ask you to stand by as we bring them all in. Let's begin with Lady C. Lady C, it's always a pleasure to have you on the air. Welcome to tonight's program. I certainly hope that you're looking forward to it as well as I am.
I am looking forward to it. Hello, everyone. I am looking forward to tonight's program. You know, tonight's program might be a little hard one for me, you know, especially when you're talking about, you know, certain spirits and what is going to be in me and different things like that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to what everyone has to say.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Ms. J, let's go ahead and bring you in all the way from the Peach State of Georgia.
Hello, everyone, and happy Friday, and I'm ready for another exciting show tonight.
Okay, awesome. We're so happy to have you here. B. Marie, let's go ahead and bring you in. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us this evening. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Ms. J and Lady C. How are you guys doing? Hope you guys had a great week. Just looking forward to the conversation.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. And let's go ahead and bring in our new invite, and that is Lady Lynn. Lady Lynn, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Happy Friday. Good evening, co-host and doctor and listeners. I'm glad to be here, and I'm excited about tonight's show.
All right. All right. I think we've covered everybody. Let's bring in one of our callers, Marva. Sis Marva, hello and welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're so happy to have you. We're waiting on Liz to actually press one on her dial.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Dr. Jesse. It's very nice to be on the show this evening.
Oh, excellent.
Very nice.
We're certainly looking forward
Thank
to your
you.
Comments as well. All right.
Yes, sir.
Liz, it's nice to have you with us this evening as well. Hello and welcome.
Thank you. And it's good to be here, and I pray and hope that everyone is doing well. And thanks for the show, and I pray everyone enjoys the show.
Okay, excellent. All right, having said that, let me start out at the top of the hour just by asking a question. You know, tonight's topic is, what spirit have you invited into your blank? And I have a number of scenarios that will fit into that. But before I get into any of the scenarios, I want to begin with Lady Lynn. Lady Lynn, I want to ask you, when we talk about a spirit, I mean, you got all kinds of spirits out there. People say you got good spirits, bad spirits, evil spirits, and some of everything. What are people, how do you identify a spirit? Is that like a ghost?
My understanding of a spirit is a supernatural being. So, and from my perspective, I think there are only two types. They're either good or evil. So either the spirit comes from God, one of his beings, one of, you know, angelic beings, you know, that live in the spirit realm in the heavenly host, or a demon spirit, or a spirit from the underworld, or, you know, from Satan's domain.
Okay, but Leyland, while I've got you on here, would you say that if we're created in the image of God, in his character and his likeness, the spirit, where does the evil spirit come from?
Like I said, so in the Bible it talks about Satan, when he was Lucifer, he was cast out of heaven, and he was cast down to earth, and a third of the angels were cast down with him. So those were all angels that became demons, and they all abide in the spirit realm, and they're here on earth abiding with us even though we don't see them. So when we're talking about evil spirits, or a evil spirit that, you know, comes into your home, or you're allowed, that is allowed in your space or whatever, that's one of his demons that are presenting as a spirit.
Uh-huh. Okay, we're going to actually stand by. Let me go here and see if we can get some further clarity on this here. let me go with B. Marie. B. Marie, I want to ask you this question here, and then this is going to be followed by Lady C. And that question becomes, I mean, when we talk about spirit, what comes to your mind? Is it like, do you think about a ghost? Supernatural beings?
No,
what do you think about?
No, for me, what I think about, I think about a state, a matter of the heart, a matter of the mind. When I think about a spirit, I think of the fruit of the spirit. I think about, from a positive perspective, you have the fruit of the spirit. So there are different mindsets, and our hearts have to be set a certain way in order to embody the fruit of the spirit. The fruit of the spirit is patience and kindness and love. So you have that. Then you have then you have the other side, where you have a spirit of lust or a spirit of iniquity. So there's these different types of things going on. But for me, when I think of that, I think about the matter of the heart, how we think, how we make decisions. All of that embodies what type of spirit we're carrying.
Okay, all right. So you are aware that we have a spirit that dwells, man, meaning mankind, man and woman. We have a spirit within us.
Mm-hmm.
Is you aware of that, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so that came from God. So if our spirit is acting up, or we've allowed some other spirit to, and we've invited that into our lives, then that's our own doing.
Yes, based on our decisions. So God has given, you know, us, like when the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So
okay.
He's given us the power to overcome through his spirit. And by the choices we make and the things that we do, we can cause the opposite to happen.
All right, so we're going to actually stand by. So, Lady C, then if God has not given us the spirit of fear, so there are different, would you say that there are different degrees or different levels or different types of spirits out there? Because could there be a spirit of fear? Could there be a spirit of hate? Could there be a spirit of love? Lady C.
I agree with her. There is a spirit, you know, those are all spirits, you know, spirit of love, spirit of hate, you know, spirit of different things. I agree with her. You know, the spirit is based on your emotions, in my opinion. It's based on
your
emotions, on how you're feeling. Yeah.
Really?
Like you,
really?
You have a, like you're, let me see, like the spirit of fear. Like, I'm scared. I'm scared, you know?
Okay.
Sadness. I mean, for me, I feel like people can have the spirit of depression all the time. It's your character, you know, how you react to things.
There you go. Okay, Miss J, let's bring you in here. So, Miss J, where do these spirits come from? Where do they come from? The spirit of fear, the spirit of hatred, the spirit of love, the spirit of financial loss, the spirit of depression. Where do they come from?
Okay, of course we got the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of the Lord. And these different things you have mentioned, if I can understand it correctly, it's like human spirits. It comes from us as individuals, and we coincide together with God's spirit and our spirit, and that's why we pray on different things to, you know, come to the righteous spirit, I guess. But all humans have all these different feelings that you're talking about, fear, depression, disobedient, lying, all that kind of stuff. The unclean spirit, you know, they used to talk about that. That's a human, you know, type spirit. That's the way I'm seeing it.
Hey, Liz, let's bring you in here. Liz, but I'm trying to find the origin. Where did this spirit come from? I mean, even looks like, have you ever come across a baby, Liz, that looks like, I mean, like the baby is full of the devil. I mean, come on, help me somebody. Liz, have you ever seen a baby like, goodness gracious, what's wrong with that child?
Yes. You know, sometimes when babies are born with drug parents and they're full of, you know, cocaine and different things from the mother, they can have spirits passed on from birth. And the spirits come from, origin of spirit come from John 4:24. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then in Psalm 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Okay. All right. And then truth. Okay. So the question becomes, again, I'm asked, so where did these spirits come from? Did they come from God when he did not give us a spirit of fear? But these other spirits are the spirit of depression. So when we get depressed, Sister Marva, I want to bring you back in here. I want to bring you in. When you get depressed, or let's say, I mean, not you per se, but when a person gets depressed, just quickly here, is this spirit coming from God? Where did this spirit, where did it come from?
It comes from Satan. Satan and his demons oppress and depress people.
Okay, hang on a second, Liz. Sister Marva, let me bring you in here. Sister Marva, can those spirits come into our lives, from your opinion, if we don't invite them in?
Yes. We can leave doors open. Doors. That we're not even aware of that allow these spirits.
That's some talking in the background. Somebody's. We're picking up everything in the studio. You might want to mute yourself if you're talking to somebody else, please. Thank you so kindly. All right, go ahead, Sister Marva.
Yes. I was.
How do we leave ourselves open for a spirit to come into our lives? How do we leave ourselves open for that?
We allow.
Go ahead.
Okay.
We allow what?
We want our eyes, our ears, the things we see, the things we think about the things, like, for example, the spirit of lust can come from pornography, or the spirit of greed can come from covetousness, loving something that you can't have. So those
so you're saying
doors
that the doors
that
open our eyes, what we see. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Mm-hmm. You're listening to your one-hour inspirational program, a component of the Dr. Jess Walk Show. You're just joining us tonight. Topic is, what spirit have you allowed into, or what spirit have you invited into your blank? And the show's topic, this is going to go very fast tonight. We have a lot to cover. We're reminding our audience, if you'll keep your comments to 15 seconds or less, we're going to try to get to as many of these scenarios as possible tonight. We're going to begin one of our, we're going to continue with a scenario, and that is, if you invite someone into your home, and you, let's say you invite a relative that you love, but they have a friend that comes with them that has a cantankerous spirit or a spirit of negativity, now that person comes with your loved one, with your family member. But you don't know them, and it's just so happen, oh, girl, I came by here to see you, and, you know, I brought my friend with me. I hope you don't mind. But right away you sense something. You feel something like this don't feel right with this friend of hers. You know, Lady C, let me begin with you. I mean, what are you inviting into your house? What spirit are you inviting into your house?
Like I said before, your emotions, in my opinion, your emotions is what create your spirit. You know, they create the spirit. So if I brought a friend in here and she was an angry friend, her emotions is what created that anger, you know. So
right.
When she came in, she's throwing off my energy because she's constantly bickering about something.
All right. So how does that affect your household? How does that affects your household?
It affects my household because now I have to deal with this. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on, what's constantly making this person angry. But when she leaves, that spirit leaves with her.
You think so? You really think so?
I believe you really think so,
Lady C?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Miss J, do you think that spirit leaves with that person when they brought it in your house because you invited it in?
I'm trying to see how my word is saying.
All right, number one,
I would try my best not to let it affect my home. And I would try to, I guess I'd be fighting against spirits, I guess you could say, because I would try to bring in a spirit of love and concern and positivity. And true enough, she might be doing that. But well, while doing that, I'll be praising to God and calling out his holy name. And I rebuke all that negativity, so I just won't let it come into my home.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. B. Marie, that spirit, if that spirit leaves from your house when that person leaves, is it true also that the spirit of love that abounds in your house, if someone brought the spirit of love in, that spirit also leaves your house? Your thoughts on that? All right, B. Marie is perhaps not there. Let me go to Lynn.
I was gathering my thought. I'm sorry. Now I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. I feel like when we talk about spirits, they can't live in empty spaces. They have to be present in something has to carry it.
Right.
So if you bring someone in your home that has a spirit of lust and they're dealing with a lot of sexual lust and immorality, they're carrying that with them. And if it becomes an issue in your home, it can affect your home. And this is why we have to test the spirits that come around us. We have to stay in prayer. So prayer and knowing the word of God and what God is, what's acceptable in his sight and what's not, is going to help us discern. And that's one thing that's important when we talk about spirits. We have to have discernment. And discernment comes from prayer, studying the word, knowing what the word says, and learning how to choose which people should be around you and in your home.
All right, you want to stand by on this one here? We got a very deep topic tonight, you all. You will want to probably even take notes on this here because it gets very enlightening. Lady Lynn, I want to go to you now. And do you know that the spirit, let's say that somebody is promiscuous out there, right? Just having, being intimate with as many people as they possibly can. And then you invite that into your spirit. You know, let's say that this becomes, we're going to use Jack and Jill. Now, Jack and Jill, they've just had the party life, whatever you want to call it. And now all of these people that they've slept with, are their spirits intertwined into each one of them? Because these are their, these spirits are like, oh, it's chaos, la, 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 la. What is going on? Lady Lynn, your thoughts on that?
I've always heard that when you sleep with someone that you invite the, whatever spirit they're carrying and whatever spirits other people that they've slept with have carried into yourself as well. So that could very well be a real thing. And that's why, of course, we're counseled not to fornicate, because you're supposed to be with the one person that God placed you with in holy matrimony, and your spirit and their spirit is supposed to align with God's, and you're not supposed to have other people's spirits floating around. That's just a very dangerous position to put yourself in when you're sleeping with people and you don't know what spirits they carry or the people who they slept with and their spirits and so forth. And you're opening up yourself to a world of hurt when it comes down to it. You know, it's definitely not something you want to do.
All right, so Lady Lynn, the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 12, I believe it's verse 8, that God gave David wives. So did he give him all those spirits to intertwine with all those wives? First wife he had was Micah. Then he had another wife. I can't remember her name. Then he had Abigail, Nathan's wife, somebody else's wife. And then he went out, and then he got, of course, Bathsheba, which was somebody else's wife. And it's like, this man, the same man that God says is, you know, he's a man after my own heart, he did some crazy stuff like that. So all those spirits dwelt within him. And then he had, his father was Jesse. You know, I'm hoping that's where I got my name, but I don't know. But anyway, then you've got, then David's son was Solomon. And then in my worship today, you know, his son from Bathsheba wanted to kill him, Absalom. But his servant, David's servant, killed Absalom, his son. I mean, it's like, what is going on?
No, Absalom wasn't Bathsheba's son.
Oh, whose son was that?
That was one of the other mothers, may have been Abigail or one of the other mothers, but it wasn't Bathsheba. Bathsheba only had two sons. The first one died, and then Solomon.
The first one died is, and then the second one was Solomon?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, go back and check that out, Liz, while we're on the air, because I'm thinking that Absalom was David's son from Bathsheba, but I could be wrong, of course. We're just giving an opinion, but check it out for me, and then come back. Lady Lynn, let me stay with you just for a second, and all of these wives that some of them, because God said he gave them to David. So
this
was
David's
him all of these
desire. This was David's desire, but this wasn't God's ideal. So I'm.
But he said he gave
them.
He talks about
again,
what he gave David.
Again, sometimes God gives us things that we ask for, even if it's not for our best, if he sees fit to either teach us a lesson or do something through that. You know what I mean? Sometimes God allows us to have something that we asked for because we're asking it for, you know, for whatever reason. But God's ideal was not that. God's ideal was one man, one woman. And
how do you know that? Because of Adam and Eve only or what?
Because
I mean,
Adam
that was the
Eve
beginning.
And weaved throughout the Bible, there's places where we're shown that. But
well, I'm reading a lot of the Bible. I mean, in my daily worship studies, it's like these guys had some women. A lot. They had not only women, they had wives, multiple wives. But that's a whole other subject. We won't trouble you with that one tonight. But I'm looking at the spirit. What spirit are you allowing into your? Let's go with another scenario. You know, there are times when people have walked into my home. In my home, and I'm sure you all can attest to this. I'd love to hear your story briefly. And I remember one of my colleagues that I was doing my internship with, she walked into my home to meet my kids for the first time. And when she walked in the door, she said, I can feel the spirit of love in this house. And that's been throughout my house since I can remember, because it's a spirit of joy that dwells around me. My spirit is filled with joy, you know, so that if something upsets me one day, it doesn't take away the joy, because it's just momentarily, just like happiness. Happiness can change in an instant. But then when you got joy, that can last for a long time, because nobody takes away your joy. So let me go here now, and I want to bring in Lady C. Lady C, I mean, it's like, have you ever experienced that where it's like, it just seems so tranquil in someone's home that you've gone to, or it just seems so warm and inviting, you almost don't want to leave? Have you experienced that, Lady C?
I'm not sure. I can't even say that I have at all.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
If I can't,
we're going to ask you. Miss J, we're going to bring you in, and then we're going to bring in Sir Benny. Just join us. All right. Miss J, have you ever experienced that? That you walk into a building or to someone's home or get inside their car? You see, everything about me, I think it's just become a lifestyle that there's joy. It doesn't matter if it's raining out there, there's joy. If it's snowing where I am, it's joy. If it's cold, like in Alaska, it's joy. And so it's like my spirit, that spirit person dwells there. Missy, have you ever experienced that?
I experienced one thing I'm going to shortly say. I was invited to a family member's house. I went with someone else, and that family member really didn't care for me. But the spirit told me to go and to show love. And
right. And
when I walked in there, the spirit hit me to just throw my arms around her. Don't let her go. Bound her down and show her all the love I have until it's returned to me. And this truly happened. I stood there holding this person for about 10 minutes. And all I was saying was, I love you. I love you. Because she did not like me at all. And then at the end of that time, she told me she loved me, but she was trying her best to fight it. But the spirit told me to bound her down and just let her know how much I loved her. And that's
all right.
That
we'd like to hear from you all out there. You want to chime in on this? We would love to hear from you. We're gonna go. We're almost out of time, you all. We're down to 32 minutes. So to enclose, let's bring in Sir Ben. Sir Ben, it's nice to have you on the air with us tonight, and welcome.
Good evening.
Right, we'll
glad to be here. I apologize for my delay. There was somebody that was in crisis, and I had to help them get through it. So I'm thankful I'm here now.
Oh, excellent, excellent. We're so glad that you could join us. Sir Ben, when you hear about spirits, you know, whether they're good or bad spirits or evil spirits, I'm looking for the origin. I mean, it's like we're creating God's image after his likeness, and that's not to infer, suggest, or imply that these evil spirits came from God, because, you know, after all, iniquity was found in Lucifer's heart. But did God not know that his creation would have that iniquity? So you got a twofold question there. Where does the origin of the spirit, in your opinion, come from? And then did God not know that Lucifer, the iniquity that was found in his heart, did God not know that his creation? Yes, can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you now.
Okay.
Yes. First of all, God is all knowing.
So, omniscient, yes.
Yes. Yes. God knew. And yes, we don't like to think about this, but everything that happened started with God. God spoke everything to existence.
Everything.
So here's the question. Here's an interesting question that we really don't ever want to deal with. God knew of sin through man, which is why he had a plan of salvation even before the beginning of time. So he knew of sin before man. So Satan, Lucifer, the archangel Michael, was the angel that sat above the chair where Christ sat. He oversaw. His wings were so big they were covering. He was a covering for God. And so yes, God knew. God also allowed those same angels to fall, and guess where they fell? To heaven, to earth. And when they came to earth, they were able to roam and do all kinds of things. So God is very much so aware of them. As a matter of fact, most of us don't really understand that before Satan can even do anything to us, he still has to ask God for permission. He still has to consult with God about whatever he does before us. And God gives him a yay or a nay based on where we are in our faith and our walk. So yes to both of your questions, yes. And so we don't need to be concerned about that because God says, listen, I gave you free will and free choice. Just because something comes to you, you have a free will and free choice to say yay or nay. He put two trees in the garden, one of good and evil and one of life. Don't eat from that one, eat from this one. And they chose still to do what their free will allowed them to do. So, yes, our free will still works well, and God still honors our free will. Even if it's not in his benefit, he still honors it.
Okay, so the twofold question, you answered yes to both of those, and the first one was the origin. So are you suggesting, because you're saying yes to both of those, that the good or the evil spirit came from God because we're created in his likeness, in his image? So our bad
yes.
came from God? Because
yes.
everything be God?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We're gonna
even though
stand
God
by.
Is all good, even though he's all good, yes, it came from what
he
created.
Can he be all good and have a wrath at the same time? How is that all good? Can God be all good yet God has a wrath? And I agree with you. Yes, but I want you to break it down because the answer to that is an emphatical yes. God can be all good and yet still have a wrath. Well, let me hear your thoughts on that. Go ahead. Because even and go ahead. I'm excited. Go ahead.
The wrath is not designed to be a mean, old, nasty God that wants to strike everybody down. God has given us parameters, just like we as parents. We have parameters for our kids. Don't come in my house after 12. We have parameters. If you come in after 12, you can't get in. So if your child keeps doing the same thing over and over, when you lock that door and he has to sleep outside all night, he don't think you're the worst person in the world, but you're trying to get a point across to him. I have set aside a certain standard, and I want you to maintain that standard. God created us to, one, live forever, to, two, have an abundant life, three,
right.
he wanted us to enjoy and be happy in our lives. But when we chose to take on sin, then that opened up a whole other door of a whole lot of other bad things that was coming to us. And because
right.
we kept going down the road further and further, he now says, I have to come and chastise you. When your child keeps getting in trouble, you get that belt and you tear his butt up. And you tear it up until he gets the message. You can call it child abuse. You can call it whatever you want to. You tear him up until he gets that message. Because if you don't tear him up, he's going to bring embarrassment to you, the parents. It says if
right.
you do not take care of your child and chastise them, they will bring great embarrassment to you. That's
okay.
what happened. Adam and Eve brought embarrassment to God.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. And based on what you're saying, and we talk about God being all good, even his wrath is, I believe, intended. All things work together for the good. So it may appear that God has that wrath, but he's still looking out for it. I'm going to give you all a little scenario here. And you all might think bad of me, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on this here. I was a single parent. My youngest daughter was in third grade at the time, and she just thought that I was so strict because you were not allowed to bring a C, a letter grade C, into that home. And so it's like they had to be these exceptional kids, and I know that that's probably, you're going to say, well, that's not fair if they're doing their best. Well, they had all honors classes because I picked their schools and I picked their classes, you know, and they had to take the hardest subjects. And my daughter in third grade one day, she said she brought home a C. And I said, you cannot live in my house bringing in C's. Don't do that again. She said, Dad, with all due respect, that's how they had to address me in some cases. And I know you all are going to be frowning over there. But she said, Dad, with all due respect, if you had us in regular classes, that C would be an A. And I said, you're not regular kids. You're not regular kids. You're my kids. And because I'm looking out for their future down the road, And I believe that's what God does for us. He's not looking at us where we are, but he's looking at us where he desires us to be, you know, even within our free will. And so my daughter, one day, she just felt in third grade now, about 8 years old, well, she wanted to run away. Well, it was just me, you know, and I was a single parent. And so I said, well, okay, darling, if you want to run away, I understand. I do. And she says, I'm going to pack my bags, Dad. And I said, would you like me to help you? And I helped her. And then my sons are looking at me like, what is wrong with this man? And so then she went on out the door, and I told my son, lock the door and put the alarm on. And it was night was befalling. And so what happened, she's walking down the street as an eight-year-old with a little suitcase or a bag, whatever she had. And at the same time, my eyes, I never took my eyes off of her. I had already surveyed, in the, like that parent. You've already surveyed even the street. And it's like you called on God for his angel to watch her as she walked out that gate. And lo and behold, I was never far from her. But at the same time, my sons were watching me, and they were crying in their heart, what is Dad going to do? Is he going to let her go? Is he going to let her go? This is our baby sister. And so she got so many feet away, and then she caught herself, and she turned around, and she rang that doorbell so many times, and I told the kids, don't open that door. I've got to be the one to open that door. Don't open it. Don't turn the alarm off. Don't open the door. And they're pleading, Dad, let her in. Please let her in. Night had befallen. She was only gone about eight minutes, walked half a block, and came. And my eyes never fell from her. And so, lo and behold, I opened the door. She said, Dad, let me in. I want to come back home. I said, you sure? She's like, yes, I want to come back home. I know that was bad, you all. But, of course, I was never going to let my daughter get too far. And that's what God does for us. So when we talk about his good, all good all the time, and his wrath all the time. I mean, his wrath. It's for our good. That was my wrath for my daughter, yes. But guess what? It was like my daughter today, she excelled as a young executive. And all of my children did. And I'm not saying this is just about my kids, but I want one of you all, can you relate to any of that? Let me bring in Lady Lynn. Can you relate to that? It's the spirit that you allow in. So she had that negative spirit of, Dad is too strict. I need to run away. But when she came back, she embraced the spirit of love that she actually left and realized that, you know, where am I going to go? So she came back to love. City Lynn, give me your thoughts. Tell me how horrible I was first, and then go ahead. It's okay. Tell me how horrible I was.
I've heard stories like this before. No, you had to set the, you had to set it early. You had to set your standards early, and she had to understand what they were. You watched her the whole time. She wasn't in any danger. She thought she might have been. Her brother thought, but you knew. So yeah, you had to set the standard early and teach them early, and it paid off. So that was definitely the right thing to do. Parenting is a hard job, so I commend you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay, let me bring in B-Marie. B-Marie, go ahead and just bash me. Tear me down.
No, I won't do that. Honestly, as an educator, I wish I would see more of that happen. It's been a great week at school, but as an administrator, you know, you have your challenges. And one of the things that I wish parents would do more is not let their children make decisions that they are not ready to make. You chose their place of school. You didn't ask a five-year-old, hey, do you like this school? Would you like to go here? And those are the types of things as a vice principal that I see. And we need parents to train up and teach. And the fact that you set a standard expectation in your home is important. And it's very important to establish that. And with our relationship with God, it's the same thing. God set a standard. He set
sure
a standard of purity in our lives. He set a standard that, you know, we are to be committed to our marriages, to that one person. He set a standard that we are to take care of our bodies and to honor him and worship him. So as believers, we do have a high standard, and he expects us to walk in that. And so that's the parallel I see between parenting and between our relationship with our Father.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. J, I got to bring you in here because we're saving Lady C and we're saving Sir Ben, because I know that Lady C is going to hit me with both hands at the same time. And Sir Ben may have a little grace and mercy on me. I say may. But go ahead, Miss Jake. We're going to bring you in. Just go ahead, and you want to kick me or what?
You know, you showed a little tough love there. You know, you was a little hard. But, you know, this is my thing on it. I know exactly what you're talking about. When I was pregnant with my kids, I prayed for nothing but success on them. I prayed on success, that this child was going to do good and be a successful child. And if you, as you raise them and you get to know your child like you did your daughter, you really got to know her. And, you know, you knew what she was capable of. And one thing we used to tell our kids, who's the best person you know? And we're talking about earthly person. You know, we know God is best. And
right.
We told them to say, you are. We
mm-hmm.
instill that you are always the best. You can do and succeed in whatever you do. So I did something similar to you, but not as hard, you know. And but it got to a point where especially my son, it hurt him to make a B, not a C, but a B. To
wow.
what I had instilled in him, just making a B, he was so upset. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think that's a good thing when you can do that. But, you know, you got to start early and build them up and let them know that they are the best, and you expect nothing from them, and they should expect nothing but the best from themselves. Don't say
that. And I like
you
what you're
what,
saying because
average is. You know what average is? Average is the same distance from the top that it is the bottom. So
that's,
I
and
tell
I agree
my kids,
with
you don't want to be average. You know, above.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Right, and you're absolutely right, and I agree with that. And do you know today, like that same young daughter? The youngest one, she has three boys. They were born in Alaska. These three boys make straight A's. They can't stand to make a B. And they're in all honors class. So she's emulating what I did with her. My oldest son, two daughters, straight A's. My youngest son has a three-year-old. She's already doing math. She's already doing math at the age of three. She's reading and doing math. My oldest daughter has four kids. And let me tell you something. Her two younger ones are straight A students. So it's like, you know, they're instilling some of the same values and expectations that I had. Let me go ahead and bring in Lady C, then we're going to see maybe Sir Ben has some mercy or grace looking for it from them. But Lady C, are you going to kick me, hit me with both hands at the same time? Tell me how horrible a parent I was. What are you going to do, Lady C?
No, I'm not. Because I am a parent that believes in tough love. Like my children, they already know if those grades don't stay up, they won't go on not one field trip. And if their teachers say something, then I'm going to let them know. Listen, then I'm going to tell their teachers how I feel about it, you know. Because like even my
mm-hmm.
Oldest one day, she decided to slack off and bring home my F in a class.
What?
She decides one of the teachers getting A's in. So I politely canceled her biggest field trip of the season, which was SeaWorld. I didn't even
right.
care. But she brought the F up to an A, back to an A real quick.
See?
My other
see?
One, she knows I don't play about having an unclean room.
Uh-huh.
So I warned her, and I let her know her birthday and Christmas was around the corner. And if she don't get it together by her birthday, she won't have not one gift. And sure enough, she didn't get a gift. Christmas came. She didn't want to listen. She didn't get not one gift.
Whoa.
All of a sudden, she decided to listen. I am a big fan of tough love. You know, I'm not going to award behavior, uncorrected behavior. I'm just not going to do it.
Okay. Lady C, just so you know, I got Children and Family Services phone number on speed dial. Okay. Because you know, and I'm saying that because my kids used to threaten me with that. Dad, I'm going to call Children and Family Services. I said, you know what? Guess what? They can, if they want you, or they can take you, because otherwise I'm putting myself up for adoption. Okay, so we're going to stand by. Sir Ben, let's bring you in. Sir Ben, go ahead. You don't have to give me the grace or the mercy. God gives me that. But tell me, was I a horrible parent?
Sir, all you have to do is look at the fruit. The fruit, what is the fruit of your child, your children? Your fruit will tell you what you need to know.
You know what? That's what it is. It's like, and now all they do is they and you know, we talk about the children. As we talk about our kids, I know Miss J, you've talked about yours, and others of you all have talked about yours that are not the children are talking about you to other people, how proud they are of their parents. Ben, do you realize that as well? I know you do.
Yes, I do. And so our children are just merely an extension leaf to the tree. The tree is the solid foundation from which the children gets nourishment, they get strength, they get development, so that when that fruit falls out and it goes and it connects with another fruit, it will have the same type of enthusiasm and type of growth. It would have all the things that are necessary. So, sir, if you had to prune your fruit every once in a while, if you had to do some shaving, whatever you need to do to make sure that fruit got the right source of nutrients, growth, and development, by all means, congratulations, you are successful. Because to deny that fruit is the beginning of a spoiled, rotten, whatever you produce.
There you go. Absolutely. Liz, I want to bring you in here. Liz, is it in the Bible? I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to first give us about whose son was Absalom. Then I want you to answer this question. Is it in the Bible? You shall know them by their fruit.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I did find the verse that you was asking about, the son of David, and it is found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3. And it says here, because in verse 2 it tells you who his firstborn is, and then in verse 3, which I'm going to read, it tells you who his second and third son is, which is Absalom, the third son. So it says here, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3, and his second, Chilead, of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Gersha.
Okay, so that was not Bathsheba's son. So, Sam, thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I appreciate that. The first
son died because
in 7 days.
Adultery. Yes.
Right, the prophet told David that would happen because
Nathan,
of what he had.
Yes.
Right, Nathan had told him that. So now the question becomes, is it in the Bible, that other question, you shall know them by their fruit, by your fruit?
Yes, that is in the
Bible. All
right,
while you're looking up that, I want you to look that one up for us, and then I want to go here now and ask about what spirit are you inviting into. And I want to begin now with Sister Marva, just quickly because we're almost out of time, and we're going to ask tonight, B. Marie, if you'll close us out tonight, if you don't mind closing us out tonight, in about 10 minutes. Okay, so if you'll close us out with tonight's topic, let me begin here by asking Sister Marva, just quickly here, what spirit invite into your child, your underage child's life? Could it be the children that you allow them to play with? Could that spirit be thrust upon your child? And so the question becomes, you need to watch who your children are playing with?
Yes.
Why?
I only have
Why?
One child. I didn't have a problem with her during schoolwork, but she was good with her schoolwork, always A's. The teachers called her a good apple. But she wouldn't listen to me when I said, you need to tell me when you're leaving the house. So I would just hear the door slam, and she would be gone, and I'd be afraid. And I would look out, I don't see her. So when she'd come back, I'd say, would you please tell me where you're going? Oh, I just went over to Amber's house. No, you can't do that. You have to tell me where you're going, and I just have to get permission from her mother for her to come over there. Another day.
So, in other words, it's important to watch who our children hang with to avoid certain spirits to get into them. Sister Marva, we're going to ask you to stand by. We want to hear from you all. If you want to tell us what your thoughts are on what spirit have you invited into your blank, whether it's your house, your car, the relationship. We're going to get to that one now. Press one on your dial. We'll try to get to you all because we're talking about spirits. Spirits are real. And so let me go here now. Lady C, let me bring you in, and then Miss Jane. I want to ask the question, Is it important with you, Lady C, who your children are hanging around? Because, you know, it is possible that all of a sudden now, because they're around school-aged children, that they start acting strangely. Where did that spirit come from? Lady C, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you. Is they taking on other people's personalities, you know? So, yes, I believe that it's very important that kids, you got to be careful who your kids hang out with because they want to be like their friends, you know? I even see my children now, especially my 10-year-old. I can see whenever there's a child that talks a certain way, I realize she starts talking like that person. Or if a child acts a certain way, she starts acting like that person because she likes to mimic folks, you know?
Right.
But the thing is, she's taking on that person's personality. So if I had that child with me every day, I wouldn't want her to think she can become her. Not become her, but be just like her, you know?
Like that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Ms. J, I want to bring you in, and then we're going to be followed by bringing in Sister. We're going to bring in Lady Lynn after this one. No, B. Marie, we're going to bring you in. Ms. J, and the question becomes, you know, I got to ask this one here, you all, and forgive me for laughing because sometimes it happens. You know, how do you get the devil out of your children? How do you get the devil out of them?
You know what they say, but they don't say that. Beat it out
of them. You know, it's like, how in the world did the devil get in this child?
Now, all you do is just pray, and try to get them to pray with you. But, you know, only prayer I can do it. But, you know, you might have to get an exorcist. I don't know. But anyway, but pray.
Pray. Okay. B. Marie, let me bring you in. And then Lady Lynn, the same question. How in the world do you get the devil out of this child? It's like, my goodness, this child bad as the devil. So how you get the devil out of the child?
Ooh. Worship. You know, I worship. I don't have children of my own, but over the last 8 years, I've had probably about, you know, 150 of them. And there's times we talk about spirits. You never know what kids are bringing in each day. You don't know what's going on in their household. You don't know what's going on in the car before they came in. And there's times where I could feel it, and I would just put on worship music, and it's amazing how the atmosphere would shift with worship.
Wait a minute, in your classroom, you're in a private school though, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right,
yes.
We're going to ask you this. Lady Lynn, I got to bring you in here with the same question, and then we're going to go to Sir Ben. Lady Lynn, I've heard these stories, and I've seen it as a classroom teacher for 36 years. It's like, my goodness, God, please get this child. It's like I've sent kids on errands, okay? When they come into that room and they come in there and it's like, oh, my goodness, this child got the devil. And it's like that becomes my errand person. I done sent them on an errand for almost an hour and a half going to other teachers' classroom. Okay, I know I'm horrible. Okay, I confess. I've had to send them because it's like I cannot let them destroy my joy. Okay? So, Lady Lynn, I know I'm horrible, but listen, I can't let my joy be taken away, even if it is my job. Lady Lynn, talk to me.
And we're laughing, but seriously, what B. Marie said is exactly right. Worship is a big part. And prayer, praying over these kids. And if they're your own kids, watching what they're bringing in, the music they're listening to, the video games they're playing, like spirits can come through all sorts of mediums, believe it or not. And you have to guard the avenues of your children. You have to help them do that. So their friends, their associations, all of it has to be guarded. All of it has to be purged almost if you really have an issue. But definitely praying over that child, laying hands on them, some anointing oil.
But, Lady Lynn, I worked in the public school system, so you can't dare pray over them.
No,
I can only pray and meditate in my heart. I can't even say, help me, Jesus, out loud. No, I did.
Over your own kids. But you guys are...
Oh, and my kids, yes. But I'm talking about even at work, my job. It's like a kid comes in and it's like, oh, no, I'm not dealing with this today. Okay, let me write this pass. I need you to go see 15 teachers. And then I need you to ask him the same question. Trying to get rid of that kid. I can't beat him. Can't touch him. Come on, Lady Lynn.
Pray over them. You can pray over them in your heart. They ain't got to hear what you're saying. You pray. You pray that.
I'm praying while they out of the room. God, please let them stay out there and let the bell ring fast today. Man, let me bring you in. How do you get the devil out of these children when they're not yours?
Dr. Walker.
Yes.
This is Jay. Let me tell you this right quick, and I just thought about it.
Okay.
Hold on. You heard about Scared Straight, right?
Yes,
you know,
I have.
Okay, well, my husband was a major on the police department in Atlanta. So when our kids became teenagers, you know, these police officers, anyway, he put their butts in jail and say, if you decide to act up, and they stayed there a few hours, this is what happens to you. And then he had some cops to come there and, you know, do what they do on that Scared Straight. So that scared the mess out of him. Because my son said, where's the door to the bathroom? You know, he had that toilet right by the bed. That scared
right.
him straight, so they didn't think about doing nothing wrong.
You know, and I think that was very important. And I used to be with Frederica Wilson. They had a program, role models, 500 role models, 5,000 role models. And I was one of the models. And we used to have to take kids to the jailhouse. And listen, I got tired of that program. You know, well, I mean, not the program, but taking the kids to the jail after 7 years. Because them jail guys used to be whistling at me. And I say, wait a minute, hold up. I'm not going, and you hear them doors shut. And it's like, I'm not doing it. They're whistling at me. Hey, you so fine. And I'm like, and I was much younger then. And I'm like, I can't take this. You know, and they're making all these innuendos. But let me just, Sir Ben, we got to bring you in, and then we're almost out of time. And B. Marie's going to be closing us out. Sir Ben, how do you get the devil out of these children, even when they're not yours?
Well, I've had that scenario twice where I had a situation where my daughter from my wife, she had a daughter, and she had an issue with taking things that were not hers. And so one day she had a situation where she had taken something and came home, and I found out about it. So what I did was I had her pack a bag. I had to put, you know, 3 white T-shirts in there, 3 pair of jeans, and I drove her to the police station. The police was, you know, I had them all in on the deal. The police was there to meet us and was going to escort her in. They actually put the handcuffs on. She was crying tears of just bawling. She actually passed out one time. And so
wow.
I asked her a question. I said, are you going to continue taking stuff that don't belong to you? And she promised me that she would never take another item that did not belong to her. Now, I will tell you this, to the best of my knowledge, she never had an issue with sticky fingers again. She
wow.
did have her father had an issue with sticky fingers, but it was never corrected, and he allowed that spirit to fall on his seed. And so I had to cut that prune and dissect and cut that part of that DNA out of her by scaring her straight. Now, with my own son, my son, when he turned 15, you know, boys get this thing where they just want to, they want to try their dad. Just, it ain't necessarily out of disrespect, just to try to see what their levels are, you know, what they can get away with.
I got 2 sons.
My son
go ahead
said,
quickly, though.
My son, in 2 seconds, my son said he saw the Incredible Hulk, Thor, and another monster come out of me all at the same time. And he said when he saw that, it frightened him so bad that whatever he was thinking about trying to try with me, he would never do it again. So the answer to that question is, how do you get the devil out of some people? Sometimes you got to be the devil to get the devil out of people. And so I think he saw the devil in me, and he didn't want to ever have to contend with that again. So
I know exactly where you're coming from, because, and I agree, sometimes you got to show them, okay, this is what the devil really looks like, and I'm about to hurt you up in here, okay? So I know exactly what you're talking about. Listen, we're out of time, you all. I really appreciate everybody. B. Marie, close us out even with Matthew 7:15. You know, just give us a synopsis on that and close us out. Thank you all. B. Marie, close us out, please. B. Marie, are you there? B. Marie, okay,
I'm muted. I just wanted to say that tonight's topic was awesome. We talked about
the fruit of the Spirit, and we talked about living in the Spirit. And so what I wanted to read was this. If you're living by the Spirit, the posture of our heart is oriented toward and in tandem with God. We aren't so concerned with what the world thinks of us. We care about pressing on toward our goal to become more like God. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, "So I say to you, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Through the fall, we all know that we are born with sinful nature, and it's through Christ that he lives in us and renews us. And so it's very important that we live by the Spirit and understand that that Spirit is capitalized because we're talking about the true and living God. So let us walk in the Spirit of God each and every day of our lives as he leads and directs us. Amen.
Amen. And amen again. Listen, I want to thank all of you all for taking part in tonight's programming. We're sorry that we ran out of time and we didn't get some of you all that did want to chime in. We hope that you'll join us back here again next Friday night. And listen, by all means, of course, join us here tomorrow morning. It's our Miracle Prayer Day from 6:30 in the morning to 8:30. Get up early to meet God, which some of you all are already doing. But stop by here with the same number. Just dial in, 6:30 in the morning to 8:30. I promise you, you'll be blessed. Tomorrow's topic is God's mercy and grace when life is not fair. You don't want to miss this one here. You want to hear you're going to hear praise reports. You're going to be hearing people with prayers and testimonies. Even if you want to give a brief testimony tomorrow, please contact Ms. Woodbury or call me directly myself, and we'll see if we can include you in the program tomorrow, because if you've got some good news that is about how God has blessed you, you want to tell somebody on tomorrow morning's program. Of course, you choose bypass tomorrow morning's program. We'll be back here next Tonight is Friday. We'll be back here next Thursday, and then we'll be back next Friday, God willing. And so until next Thursday, next Friday, or until next Saturday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good
night, Dr. Walker.
Great show. Keep well, and bless everyone. Keep safe, keep well. Mr. Marjorie. Okay.
God bless.
God bless you all. Thank you. Great show. Thank you.
Yes, as usual.